It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9, the game. Final hour for myself, Dylan Matthews, and Joe Patrick, our Falcons insider and reporter, the one knowing of all things Atlanta Falcons here at 92.9, the game. We're hanging out in the Ticketmaster Studios live here at Flowery Branch. Falcons training camp getting underway here pretty soon, about 10 minutes from now, 11 if you want to be exact. It's still 11:04, almost 11:05, but Falcons practice about to get underway here on a Sunday, and we are going to take in all the sights and sounds of Falcons practice, definitely after the show, even a little bit maybe during the show, as they're going to start up practice here on our home stretch. But we still have a lot to get into with you here during the final hour. We're going to get into some NFL headlines here in just a couple of minutes. Also, we're going to continue the NFL talk with our Falcons here in about 15 minutes from now. We're going to talk about what we are looking forward to most as Falcons training camp continues. We're going to talk about putting the pads on and seeing how that plays out and just all the things that we are most excited to see as Falcons training camp continues and as the season ramps up as well. And then you can go ahead and start getting your questions ready. If you are a regular listener of the Hometown Take, you know I do a thing called Grillin' Dylan on my extended version of the Hometown Take, and we do it every Friday on the Hometown Take as well, the regularly scheduled edition Hometown Take, which is Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. We do it at 5:40 every Friday. We do Grillin' Dylan where you can ask me anything. We can talk about whatever you like. Yeah. So we're going to do that, and we're just going to add Joe to the mix as well. So it's going to be Grillin' Joe and Dylan here on a Sunday morning going into the afternoon. You can ask us whatever. If you have a Falcons player who you think is on that make or break year list that we were talking about just a couple of minutes ago, you can talk about that with us. If you have any guys you would like to see the Braves trade for as we approach Tuesday's MLB trade deadline, you can ask us about that. We're going to have some fun in the 1140 segment as well. I saw Deadpool and Wolverine yesterday. I'll give you my thoughts without any spoilers. Don't worry. I know it just came out. If you haven't seen it, I'm not going to spoil anything for you, so don't worry about that. And we're going to also talk about a big reveal that you may or may not have seen come from Comic-Con last night that also has to deal with the MCU. So we'll have some MCU fun at 11:40 along with taking your questions. Phone lines will be open at 404-726-0929. But right now we're going to get into some NFL headlines. Let's talk about some things that are happening around the National Football League. And man, yesterday, Joe, some quarterbacks got paid, brother. Yeah. Let's first focus on the quarterback in Miami that got paid. Tua Tagovailoa, 4 years, $212.4 million extension. That practice time ain't going to be fluid anymore. He's going to be out there. So he agreed to a 4-year, $212.4 million extension. Largest in franchise history. Adam Schefter reported that on Friday. That's $53.1 million of the average annual value of the contract that is going to place Tua on the third among the NFL highest paid quarterbacks, right behind Jaguars Trevor Lawrence and Cincinnati Bengals Joe Burrow. But that was before, who we're also going to talk about here in a couple of minutes, that's before Jordan Love got his 4-year, $220 million contract extension with the Packers. But first, let's focus on Tua as he gets his big deal. And look, I think Tua was deserving of this deal. I mean, he's had his injury problems, yes, but he was healthy all year last year. And he showed if he's healthy, he can give the Dolphins what they need as far as offensively. I mean, that offense with Tua, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, now they're adding Odell Beckham Jr. to the mix. So offensively, they're not going to have any problems. As far as defensively, are they going to be able to stop enough guys? And obviously in the playoffs, can they, you know, beat the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs of the world? But I think Tua is their guy.
He is now.
Right. Well, yeah, ain't no question about it now. He's the guy now for sure.
He is the guy. You know, it's interesting with because from what I've seen, I agree with you. Like, he seems like a good quarterback to me, quarterback. I don't think he's special, you know, like, and I think that that's where this gets interesting in terms of the conversation that we have around these contracts is that, you know, if you're an NFL team and you've got a quarterback who is like pretty young, like Tua is, and seems like good enough, it's like, okay, we're getting into bed with you for like, you know, what is now is like just what it costs to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, which is now going to be about $50 million because of the, you know, this offseason, the salary cap took the biggest salary jump. There's the biggest dollar amount jump that it's ever taken before.
Right.
$30 million for added to the salary cap for each team. And what that is doing is that is pushing all of these deals that have been made since to be this record break, you know, record setting in terms of the absolute dollar amount.
Right.
So, like, you're seeing Antoine Winfield sign, like, the, you know, the highest, you know, the biggest safety contract in the NFL. And that's really what's happening with these quarterbacks. I mean, if you look, you know, Tua Tagovailoa is now one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. He, you know, would have been even higher if not for Jordan Love's contract, who immediately becomes the most expensive quarterback of all time.
Goodness.
After playing 1 year.
After starting 1 year and looking good for half a season.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you think, like, what Jordan Love looked like in week two against the Falcons, you would have never thought he would have gotten a deal like this at the end of the season.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that Jordan Love isn't good and Tua Tagovailoa isn't good.
But
like, the point is that, like, once you're, like, good enough, the team has to get in bed with you at that point. Because what else are they going
to
do?
And at this point, too, it's like, you don't even have to have that much body of work. Because, again, for Jordan Love, it's been half a season, at least for Tua. Like, you had seen flashes before, and, you know, it was just really injuries. Then last year he has a really good year, and he stays healthy all year. But Jordan Love, I mean, again, last year was his first year starting, and it didn't even look good until midway through the season.
Yeah.
Now, he did win a playoff game, did take down the Dallas Cowboys, and he was a big part of that, and that offense went off, and he had a great game. But still, it's like, man, the body of work doesn't even have to be there all the way. It's just like, if you, and at this point, if you just so flash, it's just like, all right, what else are we going to do? We got to pay you.
Yeah. And now let's compare that, the way we've been talking about these quarterbacks that are – basically, you know, among the most expensive quarterbacks in NFL history, in Jordan Love's case, the most, to the deal that the Falcons signed Kirk Cousins to, which is now looking like a freaking bargain, considering he's a guy who's been around this league for a long time, has a proven track record of success, has worked in these systems before. We talked about on the show so far, everything that he's adding to the organization, to the his teammates on the field, and he is a, I just had this pulled up, he's a $25 million cap hit this year. Next year, he's a 40. Now, let me reiterate. Jordan Love, $55 million a year.
To a $53 million a year.
You know, Joe Burrow, 53. What are some of these other
Trevor
numbers?
Lawrence is around 50-something per year.
Trevor Lawrence, 55. He just got his deal done this year. Jared Goff, 53.
Yeah.
Would you really have Jared Goff for $53 million or Kirk Cousins for 25 this year and 40 next year? And then you'll probably take some dead cap whenever that the end of that contract, whenever you want to, you know, part ways with them. If he's not, if things are going great, Kirk Cousins is leaving this team to, you know, the highest levels of success in the NFL, then he becomes a $57 million cap hit in the third year, which that's exactly on par for
if he's
that successful for you, you're paying standard rate for your quarterback.
Right.
So it's looking like a great deal for the Falcons in retrospect.
It really is. And, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, how can you spend this much money on a guy who's, you know, coming off the Achilles injury, this and the third? And it's like, okay, well, this guy is at least proven. And if you're the Packers, and again, it's no shade towards the Packers because they did what they had to do, but you know, everybody wants to point towards the Falcons. Oh, you know, you're paying this guy coming off Achilles injury, blah, 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 blah. This guy's proven. And he's what, had the most seasons of, 30 or 4,000 yards and 35 touchdowns or whatever the stat is. He's a proven guy, and he's proven to be close to that elite status, if not in that elite category. And Jordan Love just got paid. He's now, what would you say, $55 million a year, and he gave you half of a season in his first year starting, and you're already paying him that much. So that's a great point you make out in retrospect. It's like, come on. Right now we have Kirk Cousins on a bargain.
Yeah, I did some napkin math here, and this is what the Falcons are generally going to pay their quarterback room, the entire room, over the next few years. And granted, let's remember, these top quarterbacks now who are getting deals are getting somewhere in the range of $50 to $55 million.
Right.
From Jared Goff to Jordan Love. Those are the caliber quarterbacks we're talking about. The Falcons as a room with Michael Penix and Kirk Cousins they're going to be about $36 million this year.
Wow.
Next year will be about 45. 2026, and this is based on Kirk playing 2 years here and then them ending the deal after 2 years.
Right.
They would pay about 40 in 2026, about 25 probably in 2027, and then 2028. Penix will be, that would be his fifth year option year.
Yeah,
that'd be, probably be about 25 to 30 million plus whatever you pay the backup. So, like
they're
I don't want to say they're not cheating, you know, they're not skimping out of the position, but they're certainly, I think, getting better value on the field than what they're paying relative to some of these other teams. So,
absolutely,
all while having more security at your backup quarterback position, which honestly, like a lot of people overlook that or kind of, you know, scoff at or whatever, but like. You look around the league last year, a lot of backup quarterbacks played. A lot of backup quarterbacks played a lot of significant playing time, but even the ones that didn't play extended periods still had to come in certain situations and play. It's not necessarily a position you can totally overlook. You have to expect your quarterback to need some relief at some point. And I think the Falcons are really set there now for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, they definitely are. And it's like you said, compared to what Tua and Jordan Love just got, I mean, the Falcons – they were looking, after getting all of the NFL worked up about paying Kirk Cousins and then drafting Michael Penix. Again, you look at it now, Terry Fontenot was on to some. Terry Fontenot might have cooked with what he did at the quarterback position and set them up, again, for the foreseeable future as well. And for the next few years, as you pointed out with your very good napkin math, by the way, they're set, and they're set at a good value price for the next, what, up until 2027?
5 years,
for the next
really.
5 years. So it's good stuff there. Real quick, before we wrap up this NFL headline segment, the Cowboys did say they just offered CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott new contract offers. So Executive Vice President Stephen Jones said Saturday that the Cowboys sent a new offer to receiver CeeDee Lamb's representation on Friday, and the team also recently sent a new offer to Dak Prescott's agent.
Is Dak going to be the next highest paid quarterback in NFL history? He very well might be.
He very well might be. Joe, I want to ask you this real quick before we break. Who are they going to lose? Because it seems like they're going to lose somebody.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how they pay. I don't know how they pay between Dak, CeeDee, and Micah. I don't know how they keep all three of them.
I don't either. I wouldn't want to be in charge of that position. And I even hate to have an answer. Like, I kind of feel like Micah Parsons is most likely to leave. It won't happen immediately, but I feel like, you know, long term, which it sounds crazy.
It does.
But it sounds great. Like, it's hard to lose any of those guys. But that's the thing. I would probably rather part with Dak more than any of them.
Yeah.
But you can't. You can't part with your quarterback.
You can't.
You know, it's like, you can't do that.
Because you don't have Dak. If you don't have Dak, and then you don't have a good, clear option, which right now they don't after Dak. I mean, I guess they could look to what's the guy they got from San Francisco? Oh, man. His name.
The guy
Trey
from
North
Dakota State.
Yeah,
Trey Lance.
Trey Lance, thank you. Yeah, I mean, maybe look to Trey Lance, but how good of an option is that? We don't know. So, they're in a tough spot right now. And like you said, to get rid of Dak, who's your option after that? You know, you don't want to get rid of CD, and Micah's obviously one of the best defensive players in the game right now. It's they're in a tough, tough spot. All right, when we come back here about 5 minutes from now, myself and Joe Patrick, we're going to talk some more Atlanta Falcons football. What we are looking forward to the most as Falcons training camp continues. I've got something in particular I want to throw at Joe. We'll get to that next. Here, Joe Patrick, Dylan Matthews, hanging out in the Ticketmaster Studios live at Flower Branch and Atlanta Falcons training camp. Practice getting underway here soon, and we'll be back on Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yeah. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Just like Joey P said, we just had a interesting discussion about the Falcons playing music at practice, which is underway, by the way. I just peeked my head out before I came back in our studio setup here at Ticketmaster Studios, here live at Falcons training camp up here at Flowery Branch, the branch, as we call it. And we were talking about how, you know, we think it's really cool that the Falcons are playing music throughout the duration of practice, and Joe pointed out that they would play music some during the Arthur Smith regime, and specifically when there were competitions coming up, they would play 0 to 100 by Drake, which, if you don't know, Drake is my favorite artist, so I am very much biased when it comes to any Drake sort of conversation, and 0 to 100, honestly, is my favorite Drake song. So when Joe told me that, I lit up like a kid on Christmas. And then Eric rejoins with some Drake, probably because he heard our discussion about Drake. So good job there, Eric. Appreciate you, E. And so, yeah, that was pretty funny there, just hearing that song, hearing the Hotline Bling. But we are up here in Jersey Mike. Just did the dance.
Take
very well, by the way. So we're up here at Falcons training camp, Ticketmaster Studios. Falcons practice is underway. Shout out to our guy Day-Day, too. He's up here getting some sound and getting the sights and sounds of Atlanta Falcons practice as well. And speaking of the Falcons and practice, I want to talk about with you, Joe, what you are looking forward to most when it comes to Falcons training camp. What are you looking forward to here in most couple days? You said tomorrow, they will be putting on the pads, I believe, and that'll be the Falcons' first pad practice.
Tomorrow they're off.
Tomorrow they're off, but the next practice.
I think. They might come in the practice after the day off and maybe just do shoulder pads or something, but we'll get padded up next week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to that as far as a padded up practice goes, and I'm really interested to see how it's gonna be a little bit weird to think about this in this way, but I'm really interested to see how the competitions of kick return and punt return play out, because especially kick return, because when you talk about the new kickoff rules, I mean, there are a lot of possibilities to what the Falcons could do with this, and they could get a little bit tricky when it comes to this as far as who they want to put back there at certain times. I mean, we could see times where Bijan is back there. We could see times where it's a Arera McLeod, maybe even an Avery Williams. And I know you were talking about, again, in one of your training camp videos, I think you, for kickoff return, you believe you said it was mostly Arera McLeod and Avery Williams back for kickoff, or was that punts?
Yeah, that was kick return. Yeah, yep. To me, those two seem to be the primary ones that they have in mind to use. Of course, you know, everybody has to make the roster just in general. Yep. So we'll know. Like, Avery Williams, obviously, is the one I'm thinking about, who's maybe more like, you know, he doesn't have as defined of a role with his position as Ray McLeod does, who, frankly, it surprised me. But it's one of the things I'm looking forward to in this camp is to see him and other players. Like, which receivers will emerge outside of Drake London and Kyle Pitts? Because we know those guys kind of have their roles cemented and are going to get the balls. But who are those other receiving options that are really going to open up this passing game and open up them for more opportunities as well? But, yeah, but back to the returning, yeah, those have been the guys. But I think, you know, it's interesting with this new kickoff rule and the fact that, you know, players are, you know, coming from a different spot. They're only coming from about 20 yards away to make the tackle. It makes me think that there's going to be, one, more kick returns for touchdowns than we've ever seen.
To me, it
seems like more conducive to the return team. Now, I asked Avery this exact question yesterday after the practice at Seckinger, and he said, he was like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know if it is going to be to our advantage. Of course, he said that Bradley Pinion was like, oh, yeah, it's a huge advantage for the return team. Of course, he's going to be the one kicking off to him. But, but I'm interested to see if there – I feel like there could potentially be different types of returners who really excel in this role. And frankly, I think one of them, it's like the Cordarrelle Patterson mold, frankly, where, of course, Cordarrelle, he's got the record for kick returns, so he's kind of good anyway. But more of like a powerful returner, you know, someone who could run through an arm tackle and then break into space, you know, because that could very well be the case where you break through one tackle and you're kind of in open grass ahead of you. And like a one cut kind of power running back could have a lot of success in that kind of system.
And that makes sense too, because a guy that you were saying, again, because it was really good stuff. You haven't checked him out, his training camp recap videos, but one guy you mentioned was in there too, was Tyler Algier. And he kind of fits that mold to what you were talking about as a powerful back who can break through an arm tackle, but does have that breakaway speed if he gets an open space. So I do wonder if he could be one of those guys as well. And obviously, they don't probably want to put too much on him. But, I mean, there probably could be scenarios where we do see him in that return game as well. So it'll be really interesting to me to see who it is. But, again, to your point, I would – to me right now – if I had to give a guess as to who would be, I would probably say the majority of the kickoff returns would probably go to Ray McLeod, and maybe the majority of punt returns go to a guy like Avery Williams, just off experience right now. But
so And by the way I'm seeing it work is that, like, it's very likely that you would have essentially two returners back on any given play.
The way the
Falcons have been doing it is they've got both of those guys out there at the same time.
And kind of on
each side.
Yeah.
So that, like, whichever way the kick comes, that's the way they're going to set up. But it's going to be interesting to see it just in general over the course, even in the preseason. You know, especially once you get past the first quarter, there's usually not a lot to watch in these games.
Right.
But something to watch out for is how these teams are doing the kickoffs and the kick returns, because, you know, it's so strategic. And we haven't gotten a chance to talk to Marquise Williams yet, the special teams coordinator, but I can't wait to pick his brain to kind of hear about how much secrecy there is around this. Because I would imagine that as a special teams coach, you probably share, like, a lot of, like, ideas and things with other special teams coaches, you know, just as part of the being part of that community and stuff. And but on this one, I bet nobody's giving anything away, because it's you're trying to cloak and dagger this thing.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, I ain't giving you any secrets or any little hints about what we're trying to do. We're keeping that tucked heavy under the vest. I do want to go back to something that you just brought up real quick. And it is your boy Dylan Matthews and Joe Patrick here live in the Ticketmaster Studios, live at Flyer Branch, Atlanta Falcons training camp. Practice is underway on this Sunday. Follow myself at _DylanMatthews on all social media platforms. Follow Joe Patrick at JAPatrick200 and follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms as well. Well, one thing I do want to get back into, Joe, is what you were just talking about with the receivers, as far as who you're looking forward to, as far as who's going to be that breakout guy behind Drake London and Kyle Pitts, who we know obviously are going to be big parts of the offense. And, you know, I believe you talked about this. I can't remember when, but you were basically saying that, you know, Darnell Mooney, even though he is wanting to be that number two, and I say number two as a true wide receiver, obviously Kyle Pitts is, you know, going to play some receiver and tight end, but when we talk about true receiver and we're talking about who that second guy is going to be, you know, Darnell Mooney, we think, is going to be that guy, and we hope is going to be that guy, and that's probably the plan right now for the coaches. But you were talking about how Raheem Morris is like, yeah, you got to earn that spot, buddy. It's not just going to be given to you. And Rondell Moore is going to have a chance to show what he can do. Ray McLeod, who we just talked about, is going to have a chance to show what he can do. So that's going to be a really interesting to me as well, to see who is going to step up, who's going to make the most plays, as far as, again, being that guy that Kirk Cousins looked to. Is like, okay, if Drake and Kyle aren't there, I know, or if they're really honing in on Drake or really honing in on Kyle, I know this guy, whether it's Darnell Mooney, Ray McLeod, or Rondell Moore, are really going to have a mismatch, and I might be going to look to them a little bit more too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think one of the things that has to make you excited for, especially a guy like Darnell Mooney in particular, is he was apparently, and this is according to Kirk Cousins, kind of identified by him
as
a player. He's like, I've always liked what he brought to, you know, those Minnesota teams, just watching them play, and I think he would be a good fit. And so I think that you, like, look at him, and it's like, can he essentially be akin to, like, what KJ Osborne was in Minnesota, as kind of being that guy opposite of Justin Jefferson, who's going to get his opportunities. It's kind of interesting when you do compare those two offenses, because they're kind of similar in terms of just the usage of how much Drake London is used as a target versus Justin Jefferson, very similar. And same with the tight end positions, as both being very important for those guys, with T.J. Hockenson being such a big part of that team up north in Minnesota, as we expect Kyle Pitts to be down here. So there are some similarities there, and then it's just, who are you going to get to be that other guy? Because that's something that just never emerged last year for the Falcons, was that other receiving option. The team signed Matt Collins, who's more of kind of a special teams type of guy. You just didn't really have a dynamic playmaker there, and you hope that Darnell Mooney and Ray McLeod has really emerged as well so far in these opening days of camp as being those guys.
Yeah, and to your point about Darnell Mooney, it seems like this is going to be a good opportunity for him to show that he can be that guy after, again, not having the best quarterback play, you could say, with, you know, out in Chicago with Justin Fields. And not to say that, again, I'm not trying to poo-poo on Justin Fields or anything here, but, you know, there were times, and there's video out there from him being open and him being overthrown. So, you know, with it, like we talked about with Kyle Pitts, with him being healthy and having better quarterback play, because Kyle Pitts was also a guy who kind of fell victim to some bad quarterback play and a lot of overthrows, and Darnell Mooney seems to fit in that same type of category when we talk about, you know, not having the best quarterback play and now getting a real elite quarterback in Kirk Cousins, and how much that's going to help them out as well. So I do think Darnell Mooney could be one of those guys to emerge, but I'm also, again, really interested to see Rondell Moore and Ray McLeod, and I'm interested to see too, like, how They use them. Obviously, they're going to be they're going to take some deep shots with those guys. And they'll take deep shots with Kyle Pitts and, you know, Drake London and Darnell Mooney as well. But, you know, it feels like the Rondale Moore and Ray McLeod were really, really brought in here to really be that extra gear, yeah, take the top off type receiver. So I wonder how they're going to use them in other ways as well. If we're going to see them, you know, there are going to be some wide receiver screens, some bubble type screens, mm-hmm, or things like that. So
definitely,
I'm just interested to see how they, and obviously Ray is going to have probably a big role in special teams as well. But, you know, the other ways besides being deep threats, I do wonder how they're going to fit in that in those other roles.
Yeah, Raheem actually talked about this at the owners' meetings earlier this spring, where this was actually the team that just acquired Rondale Moore. And, you know, he was talking about how, you know, something that they were looking to do with this receiver core is, you know, have a plan for some of these players and how they're going to operate within the system. And so you have guys like Drake London and Kyle Pitts who are going to be a lot of intermediate targets, but then Darnell Mooney is going to be that guy who can stretch the field vertically. Mm-hmm. And then Rondale Moore is going to be a guy that they can do a lot of tricky stuff with kind of at the line of scrimmage, coming across in motion. Again, you were talking about the screens and those kinds of things, kind of playing in that short area where then he can get that yak yardage where he's got that explosive speed and can turn the, you know, yak into who knows how many yards. And so that's something that I'm looking forward to seeing, to kind of come back to what we're talking about in this segment, is how this passing game and this offense is going to create more easy yards for guys like Kyle Pitts, you know, to run after the catch and just be more explosive and be able to move the chains more consistently. So often this team last year got really bogged down when they got into those, what Arthur Smith would call the fringe area. So right around the time you get into that kind of 50-yard field goal range area, that's when this team really struggled. It wasn't necessarily in the red zone. It was before the red zone. And I think that, you know, with hopefully this offense is going to allow them to be a lot more successful in moving the chains in those situations and giving them a lot more easier opportunities to score.
I'm just really looking forward to it. Talking about things to look forward to, I'm just looking forward to seeing this offense, period, because it really does sound like there's going to be a lot of options and the weapons are plentiful for Kirk Cousins. And just what Zach Robinson and Kirk Cousins and, you know, this whole staff and this whole offense is going to be able to put together is going to be really, really exciting. So I'm just looking forward to this offense overall as well. Another thing I'm looking forward to is your questions for me and Joe. Talked about, if you're a regular listener to the Hometown Take, you know about Grillin' Dylan. Well, guess what? We're doing a version of that. It's Grillin' Joe and Dylan. Whatever you want to talk about, call me up. Call us up right now, 404-726-0929. You want to talk about what you're looking forward to most coming into this Falcons season? You want to talk about who the Braves should sign maybe during the trade deadline? We can talk about that. Who has a make-or-break year upcoming for the Falcons? We can talk about that as well. Anything you want to talk about, call us up right now, 404-726-0929. Also, we're going to talk about the big news that came out of the Marvel Cinematic Universe yesterday as well. We'll have some fun with that. All that's on the other side here live in the Ticketmaster Studios. It's Joe Patrick. It's Dylan Matthews. You're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is your boy Dylan Matthews, and it is Joe Patrick, our Falcons insider, reporter, and the knower of all things Atlanta Falcons. We're hanging out in the Ticketmaster Studios, hanging out with you for just a little under, well, we got about 12 minutes left here before we sign off and hand things over to the Frickster, John Fricky. He's coming up after us. Olympic update coming up at the noon hour as well as right at the top of the noon hour. So looking forward to that, getting you updated on what's going on in the Olympics out there in Paris. So we'll get you up to date on that as well coming up at 12 o'clock. But right now, I need your phone calls, 404-726-0929. If you got a question for me or Joey P, give me about whatever. You have something you're looking forward to most when it comes to the Falcons practice, Falcons training camp, you call us up. If you got anything about the Braves, if you think they've hit rock bottom and they're climbing up out of rock bottom, and you have a suggestion as far as who they should trade for before Tuesday's deadline, call us up. Let me know. If you have somebody on the Falcons that you think it's a make-or-break year for them, call us up as well. Phone line's open right now, 404-726-0929. And while we wait for y'all to get on your phones and call us up, I'm going to talk to Joe about the Marvel cinematic universe. Now, Joe, you did say, I did ask you this before the show started, and I was like, you know, are you a watcher of the Marvel movies? And you're not a
blank canvas.
You're a blank canvas. Okay, so I'm going to let you know this first and foremost. I did go see Deadpool and Wolverine yesterday. My girlfriend and her family and her sister, or mom and dad and her sister, are visiting. So went to Atlanta Ice Cream Festival yesterday, had a good time there, and then went to go see Deadpool and Wolverine afterwards. It was amazing. It was exactly what I wanted it to be and exactly what I expected it to be. I thought it was great. Do you plan on going to see the movie or no?
Probably not.
No. Okay. It was really good. For anybody that was out there,
ask you this?
Yes, yes.
So as someone, I haven't watched any of these movies. Do I need to? I feel like,
yeah,
I feel
do.
Like, yeah, that's what,
for
exactly,
you to
exactly.
really appreciate
yeah,
it,
yeah,
you do.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, if you didn't see it, it's still funny. Like, you would still find it funny, but mm-hmm. for you to, like, really, really appreciate mm-hmm. what's happening.
The drama, yeah, the stuff, yeah.
Exactly.
That's what I figured,
and
which is why.
And the certain reveals are in there because, like, some of the cameos that happen in there are top tier.
Okay.
You need to see the movies prior to really appreciate it, but it's still, you would still enjoy it, but not to its fullest extent. Mm-hmm. But it was really good. A lot of good cameos in there. Obviously, there was a bunch of banter between, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine, Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman, obviously playing the roles there. Very funny. Fight scenes were amazing. So I got out of it what exactly I needed to get out of it. I know there was some I don't even know if this is criticism from everybody, but a lot of criticism that was coming from, you know, our car debate after the movie was that, you know, and I think this is fair criticism, is that Deadpool has become more about, like, Ryan Reynolds breaking the fourth wall and making, like, Ryan Reynolds jokes.
Comments,
comments, like, during the movie. You know, it's been more about him than, like, the actual character of Deadpool, which is kind of fair, but it also is just, like, the character of Deadpool, like, he's just that type of character. But anywho, the main thing I do want to get into, so if you haven't seen Deadpool and Wolverine and you are a follower of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I definitely say you should go see it. It doesn't heavily move the overall plot of the MCU. It doesn't heavily advance the overall plot of the MCU forward, but it does push it forward a little bit. And, you know, again, I'm not going to give away too much, so I can't say too much about how, but it does a little bit. What I do want to say, though, that's not a spoiler, but news that everybody probably who follows the MCU has seen by now. So, Comic-Con is happening right now in San Diego. And last night, there was a huge reveal. Everybody is wondering about, you know, what's next for the MCU as far as the Avengers go. After, obviously, Avengers Endgame happened and Captain America, he let himself get old and he's kind of moved away. And there's a new Captain America now. And, obviously, Tony Stark has passed away and, you know, he's Iron Man is gone. So everybody is wondering, you know, this new buildup, you know, what it's going to look like and who's the main villain now going to be and everything like that. Well, we got a little bit of an insight to what it's going to look like. So at Comic-Con, Kevin Feige and the Russo brothers were there because they're going to be directing over the next Avengers movies. So what they said, now Avengers Secret Wars was already announced as happening, but they also revealed that there's going to be another Avengers movie before Secret Wars happens, because Secret Wars is going to be like, it's going to be like the equivalent to like Avengers Infinity War and Endgame. It's going to be like the kind of the second climax to the second buildup, I guess is the best way of putting it. So the question was, who was going to be the main villain and who's going to play the main villain? Well, we found that out last night. So Dr. Doom, if you are you familiar with the, like, Fantastic Four?
Yep.
A little bit? You
Yep.
know about Dr. Doom,
Yep.
and he's, like, their main villain.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, we know Fantastic Four is coming to the MCU, and Dr. Doom was revealed. So, the next Avengers movie is going to be Avengers Doomsday, and it's coming out May of 2026. And so, they did a whole production, and they had a whole bunch of these people coming up, walking up after they announced the Avengers Doomsday movie. They had all these people at Comic-Con on the stage walk up, and they were all in the Doctor Doom mask and his little cape and gown or whatever he wears. And so they, you know, announced that, all right, this guy is going to be playing Doctor Doom.
And they, like, pulled off the mask, like Scooby-Doo style? Is that how they did this?
So, no. But, well, I mean, they didn't do that, but the guy who's playing it did that.
Okay.
So all the other Doctor Dooms, like, separate, and the actual guy who's playing Dr. Doom walks up, rips off the mask, and guess who it is? It is Robert Downey Jr. And if you don't know the actor by name, it's Iron Man. It's Tony Stark. He is going to be playing the same actor who played Iron Man in the MCU is going to be playing Doctor Doom. And if you don't know why this is huge, one, we weren't sure if we're going to get Tony Stark again. We weren't sure if we're going to get Robert Downey Jr., I guess I should say, again. So if you're wondering, like, how is this even possible? How is he Iron Man? He died, and how is he going to be playing Doctor Doom? Well, Joe, I'll let you know, in the MCU right now, the big thing that is happening right now is that we have crossed over into the multiverse, where there are basically there are alternate me and yous in other separate universes. So so there are other Dylans and other Joes and other Jersey Mikes out there. So basically,
much more successful versions of ourselves, right? You know, out there just killing it. Exactly. We're killing it in the multiverse.
Just thriving in the multiverse. But so what obviously I'm thinking is happening is happened in the comics too, a variant version of Tony Stark eventually becomes Doctor Doom. So that is how this whole thing is going to play into it. So I am, once I saw that reveal, I was shocked.
That's mind-melding stuff there, right there.
Yeah, I was shocked, and I am absolutely excited to see him play Doctor Doom, because obviously we know Robert Downey Jr., the great actor he is, and I mean, you know, Doctor Doom is a very vital and important character when it comes to the MCU, so that is going to be fun stuff to watch. Now, one thing I will say, I understand why they revealed this now, because I don't think it's right, but the MCU has gotten a lot of flack about their current projects and kind of, you know, this second wave of, you know, projects after, you know, Endgame and all that stuff mm-hmm. happened. But my point to that, and I'm sorry, Joe, I'm going on a rant here.
That's fine.
But my whole thing has been that, like, people were okay with the first build-up to, like, Thanos and all that stuff and Infinity War and Endgame. People were okay with the build-up it took there because they knew Captain America. They knew Thor. They knew Iron Man. So seeing those origin movies, they were fine with that because they knew those characters. Mm-hmm. And those were popular characters. People are saying it's boring and the MCU fell off now because they don't know the Wandas of the world like that. Even though WandaVision was really good. They don't know the Moon Knights of the world, and they don't know these other kind of, you know, characters that they've been introducing into the MCU after the, you know, after Endgame and all that mm-hmm. stuff happened. They don't know these new characters now that they've been introducing, or these non as main characters. But I thought it was really cool to see that, and I think that's part of the reason why they did the unveiling of Robert Downey Jr. playing Dr. Doom at Comic-Con to kind of build up the hype for Marvel for the upcoming years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine, I think, helped too, because it's doing amazing in the box office. So I think they're starting to build back up and kind of getting their steam back after they kind of lost it after Endgame and all that stuff happened. But I say all that to say this. Part of me wishes they wouldn't have done the reveal then and they would have just saved the reveal for the movie. Because if they would have saved that reveal for the movie, when I tell you Jaws, everybody's jaw would have dropped. Everybody's jaw would have absolutely dropped. So
could they have done it though? I guess they would have had to promote it as a mystery that gets revealed when you go to the movie. And I do wonder how much of that reveal would have been spoiled by just the people who go see it.
And that's the other thing too. There are so many leaks now on set.
Yeah.
Like the leak would have came out of Robert Downey Jr. in the Doctor Doom outfit.
Right.
And then it would have been ruined that way too. So I think they were trying to get ahead of the inevitable, which is him getting leaked as Doctor Doom. So
yeah.
I understand why they did it. And I was still shocked, and I love the fact they did it there and the way they did it. It was still very cool. But a part of me does wish that, you know, we could have just saw it in the theaters.
If I could tell my story as my personal life experience relates to the MCU.
Yes.
It's funny because I grew up, I loved cards, you know, like sports cards, baseball cards, football cards. There was like a card shop right next to where I would get my hair cut in this shopping center.
Yeah.
And, but it was also, you know, sports cards, also Magic the Gathering cards and like all this other stuff. And somehow in my card collection, I ended up with all these Marvel characters. And so I had like a Silver Surfer card and like, you know, like all all these guys. So
that's hilarious.
The extent. And I do wonder if that's one of the issues they're having now with this. You talk about the second wave of them having to like build up these characters that don't have as much exposure like in the past, I guess. And they kind of had to build that up and put them in the consciousness of people.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly honestly what they've been doing, is they just have to build these other characters up and get them ready for, again, the next big clash and the next big villain, which is going to be Dr. Doom played by Robert Downey Jr. So that is really cool. All right. We appreciate y'all hanging out with us this Sunday morning up till the afternoon. Falcons practice is underway right now, and we're going to go watch the rest of it, and we are going to hand things off to the Frickster, John Fricky. He'll be hanging out with you for the next few hours, and appreciate Joe Patrick hanging out with me.
It's fun, man.
We will talk to you guys on next time, and I will talk to you specifically tomorrow at 5 a.m. Appreciate y'all tuning in. This has been Joe Patrick, Dylan Matthews, hanging out with you on Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is your boy Dylan Matthews, and it is Joe Patrick, our Falcons insider, reporter, and the knower of all things Atlanta Falcons. We're hanging out in the Ticketmaster studios, hanging out with you for just a little under, well, we got about 12 minutes left here before we sign off and hand things over to the Frickster, John Fricky. He's coming up after us. Olympic update coming up at the noon hour as well as right at the top of the noon hour. So looking forward to that, getting you updated on what's going on in the Olympics out there in Paris. So we'll get you up to date on that as well coming up at 12 o'clock. But right now, I need your phone calls, 404-726-0929. If you got a question for me or Joey P, give me about whatever. You have something you're looking forward to most when it comes to the Falcons practice, Falcons training camp, you call us up. If you got anything about the Braves, if you think they've hit rock bottom and they're climbing up out of rock bottom, and you have a suggestion as far as who they should trade for before Tuesday's deadline, call us up. Let me know. If you have somebody on the Falcons that you think it's a make-or-break year for them, call us up as well. Phone line's open right now, 404-726-0929. And while we wait for y'all to get on your phones and call us up, I'm going to talk to Joe about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now, Joe, I did ask you this before the show started, and I was like, you know, are you a watcher of the Marvel movies? And you're not a
– I'm a blank canvas.
You're a blank canvas. Okay, so I'm going to let you know this first and foremost. I did go see Deadpool and Wolverine yesterday. My girlfriend and her family and her sister, or mom and dad and her sister are visiting. So went to Atlanta Ice Cream Festival yesterday, had a good time there, and then went to go see Deadpool and Wolverine afterwards. It was amazing. It was exactly what I wanted it to be and exactly what I expected it to be. I thought it was great. Do you plan on going to see the movie or no?
Probably not. No.
Okay. It was really good. For anybody that was out there,
can I ask you this?
Yes.
So as someone, I haven't watched any of these movies. Do I need to? I feel like,
yeah,
I feel
do.
Like, yeah, that's what,
for you to really appreciate it. Yeah, you do.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, if you didn't see it's still funny. Like, you would still find it funny. But for you to, like, really, really appreciate what's happening.
The drama, the stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I figured,
And the certain reveals are in there because, like, some of the cameos that happen in there are top tier.
Okay.
You need to see the movies prior to really appreciate it. But it's still, you would still enjoy it, but not to its fullest extent. But it was really good. A lot of good cameos in there. Obviously, there was a bunch of banter between, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine, Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman obviously playing the roles there. Very funny. Fight scenes were amazing. So I got out of it what exactly I needed to get out of it. I know there was some I don't even know if this is criticism from everybody, but a lot of criticism that was coming from, you know, our car debate after the movie was that, you know, and I think this is fair criticism, is that Deadpool has become more about, like, Ryan Reynolds breaking the fourth wall and making, like, Ryan Reynolds jokes.
Comments,
like, during the movie. You know, it's been more about him than, like, the actual character of Deadpool, which is kind of fair, but it also is just, like, the character of Deadpool, like, he's just that type of character. But anywho, the main thing I do want to get into, so if you haven't seen Deadpool and Wolverine and you are a follower of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I definitely say you should go see it. And it doesn't heavily move the overall plot of the MCU. It doesn't heavily advance the overall plot of the MCU forward, but it does push it forward a little bit. And, you know, again, I'm not going to give away too much, so I can't say too much about how, but it does a little bit. What I do want to say, though, that's not a spoiler, but news that everybody probably who follows the MCU has seen by now. So, Comic-Con is happening right now in San Diego. And last night, there was a huge reveal. Everybody is wondering about, you know, what's next for the MCU as far as the Avengers go. After, obviously, Avengers Endgame happened and Captain America, he let himself get old and he's kind of moved away, and there's a new Captain America now, and obviously Tony Stark has passed away, and you know, Iron Man is gone. So everybody is wondering, you know, this new build-up, you know, what it's going to look like, and who's the main villain now going to be, and everything like that. Well, we got a little bit of an insight to what it's going to look like. So, at Comic-Con, Kevin Feige and the Russo brothers were there because they're going to be directing over the next Avengers movies. So, what they said, now, Avengers Secret Wars was already announced as happening, but they also revealed that there's going to be another Avengers movie before Secret Wars happens, because Secret Wars is going to be like, it's going to be like the equivalent to like Avengers Infinity War and Endgame. It's going to be like the kind of the second climax to the second buildup, I guess is the best way of putting it. So the question was, who was going to be the main villain and who's going to play the main villain? Well, we found that out last night. So, Dr. Doom, if you are you familiar with the like Fantastic Four,
yep,
a little bit? You
yep.
know about Dr. Doom, and
yep.
he's like their main villain.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, we know Fantastic Four is coming to the MCU, and Dr. Doom was revealed. So the next Avengers movie is going to be Avengers Doomsday, and it's coming out May of 2026. And so they did a whole production, and they had a whole bunch of these people coming up, walking up after they announced the Avengers Doomsday movie. They had all these people at Comic-Con on the stage walk up, and they were all in the Dr. Doom mask and his little cape and gown or whatever he wears. And so they, you know, announced that, all right, this guy is going to be playing Dr. Doom.
And they, like, pulled off the mask, like Scooby-Doo style? Is that how they did this?
So, no. But, well, I mean, they didn't do that, but the guy who's playing it did that.
Okay.
So all the other Dr. Dooms, like, separate, and the actual guy who's playing Dr. Doom walks up, rips off the mask, and guess who it is? It is Robert Downey Jr. And if you don't know the actor by name, it's Iron Man. It's Tony Stark. He is going to be playing the same actor who played Iron Man in the MCU is going to be playing Dr. Doom. And if you don't know why this is huge, one, we weren't sure if we're going to get Tony Stark again. We weren't sure if we're going to get Robert Downey Jr., I guess I should say, again. So if you're wondering, like, how is this even possible? How is he Iron Man? He died, and how is he going to be playing Dr. Doom? Well, Joe, I'll let you know, in the MCU right now, the big thing that is happening right now is that we have crossed over into the multiverse, where there are basically – there are alternate me and yous in other separate
right.
universes. So,
right.
so there are other Dylans and other Joes and other Jersey Mikes out there. So basically,
much more successful versions of ourselves,
right.
you know, out there just killing it.
Exactly.
We're killing it in the multiverse.
Just thriving in the multiverse. But so what obviously I'm thinking is happening is this has happened in the comics too, a variant version of Tony Stark eventually becomes Dr. Doom. So that is how this whole thing is going to play into it. So I am once I saw that reveal, I was shocked.
That's mind-melding stuff there, right there.
Yeah, I was shocked, and I am absolutely excited to see him play Dr. Doom, because obviously we know Robert Downey Jr., the great actor he is, and I mean, you know, Dr. Doom is a very vital and important character when it comes to the MCU, so that is going to be fun stuff to watch. Now, one thing I will say, I understand why they revealed this now, because I don't think it's right, but the MCU has gotten a lot of flack about their current projects and kind of, you know, this second wave of, you know, projects after, you know, Endgame and all that stuff
mm-hmm.
happened. But my point to that, and I'm sorry, Joe, I'm going on a rant here.
That's fine.
But my whole thing has been that, like, people were okay with the first build-up to, like, Thanos and all that stuff and Infinity War and Endgame. People were okay with the build-up it took there because they knew Captain America. They knew Thor. They knew Iron Man. So seeing those origin movies, they were fine with that because they knew those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And those were popular characters. People are saying it's boring and the MCU fell off now because they don't know the Wandas of the world. Like, even though WandaVision was really good, they don't know the Moon Knights of the world, and they don't know these other kind of, you know, characters that they've been introducing into the MCU after the, you know, after Endgame and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff happened. They don't know these new characters now that they've been introducing, or these not as main characters. But I thought it was really cool to see that, and I think that's part of the reason why they did the unveiling of Robert Downey Jr. playing Dr. Doom at Comic-Con to kind of build up the hype for for Marvel for the upcoming years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine, I think, helped too because it's doing amazing in the box office. So I think they're starting to build back up and kind of getting their steam back after they kind of lost it after Endgame and all that stuff happened. But I say all that to say this. Part of me wishes they wouldn't have done the reveal then and they would have just saved the reveal for the movie. Because if they would have saved that reveal for the movie, when I tell you Jaws, everybody's jaw would have dropped. Everybody's jaw would have absolutely dropped. So
could they have done it? I guess they would have had to promote it as a mystery that gets revealed when you go see the movie. And I do wonder how much of that reveal would have been spoiled by just the people who go see it.
And that's the other thing, too. There are so many leaks now on set.
Yeah.
Like, the leak would have came out of Robert Downey Jr. in the Doctor Doom outfit.
Right.
And then it would have been ruined that way, too. So I think they were trying to get ahead of the inevitable, which is him getting leaked as Doctor Doom. So
yeah.
I understand why they did it. And I was still shocked, and I love the fact they did it there. And the way they did it, it was still very cool. But a part of me does wish that, you know, we could have just saw it in the theaters.
If I could tell my story as my personal life experience relates to the MCU.
Yes.
It's funny because I grew up, I loved cards, you know, like sports cards, baseball cards, football cards. There was like a card shop right next to where I would get my haircut in this shopping center.
Yeah.
And but it was you know, sports cards, also Magic the Gathering cards and like all this other stuff. And somehow in my card collection, I ended up with all these Marvel characters. And so I had a Silver Surfer card and all these guys. So
that's hilarious.
The extent. And I do wonder if that's one of the issues they're having now with this. You talk about the second wave of them having to like build up these characters that don't have as much exposure like in the past, I guess. And they kind of have to build that up and put them in the consciousness of people.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly honestly what they've been doing is they just have to build these other characters up and get them ready for, again, the next big clash and the next big villain, which is going to be Dr. Doom, played by Robert Downey Jr. So that is really cool. All right, we appreciate y'all hanging out with us this Sunday morning up till the afternoon. Falcons practice is underway right now, and we're going to go watch the rest of it, and we are going to hand things off to the Frickster, John Fricky. He'll be hanging out with you for the next few hours, and appreciate Joe Patrick hanging out with me.
It's fun, man. We
will talk to you guys on next time, and I will talk to you specifically tomorrow at 5 a.m. Appreciate y'all tuning in. This has been Joe Patrick, Dylan Matthews, hanging out with you on Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.